Izzy. So pretty.
Amen. I would like to applaud Lindsay for playing, as pregnant as she is, a guitar. And not to mention, you cannot breathe very well when you're pregnant. Can I get an amen on that? I remember trying to sing when I was pregnant, and it was like, or just, you know, walking across the room. Maybe it didn't have to be even singing. How's everybody doing? Good. I'm so happy to see you guys. I'm sorry that I have this giant laptop. I thought that I could put this on my iPad and it could be a little more compact, and it didn't work out that way. But I'm excited to be with you guys tonight. It's super fun, too, to just be able to sit and worship. It's been kind of a season of that for me lately, taking a month off this last month. So it's been a really sweet time for me to just be able to show up and worship and get to just be not leading. Does that make sense? Can't you tell I'm really going to be eloquent tonight? I was really excited about this theme, this wrapped up in Jesus theme. And my husband just came back from a trip to Jordan, and he led a mission trip there. And to have him come back after leading that trip and seeing people who had been converted and had become a Christian when they were raised a Muslim and see what they have to face and how their commitment has to be so strong. And hearing of people losing, they could lose everything. Hearing families who, the loved one who's been converted has lost their life because they came to know Jesus. And he came back from that trip with just this drive in him, like, what is our purpose? What are we here for? Why do we do what we're doing? You know, knowing what we're doing and that we do what's right in front of us, always, but really understanding why we do what we do. Does that make sense? To just really want to know why we do it and be wrapped up in Jesus in that. So vision has been a word that has been thrown around my house the last week and a half since he's been back. It's been like vision and purpose and all of these things. And yes, him and I, he's the missions pastor at our church, and I lead worship. So we know that those are our purposes now. But beyond that, Lord, really our purpose is to be wrapped up in Jesus, regardless of what we're doing and what our job might be. But before we get started any further, I just want to pray again. Let's pray. Is it better for me to stay in one place? Okay, let's pray. Father, we come before you, and Lord, I thank you so much for that time of worship. I thank you, Lord, that in a moment we can be in your presence. I thank you that there's no secret formula. I thank you, Lord, that all we need to do is offer ourselves to you and recognize our need for you. And I pray, Lord, that you would just go before us now in this time, Lord, where we get to continue worshiping by reading your word. And I pray that that's what this would be, that it would be an act of worship. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak, that these wouldn't be my words, but they would be your words. And so we just pray for your Holy Spirit to just continue to be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was in the sixth grade, I was a really cool kid. And no, I'm just kidding. That has nothing to do with the story. I was just trying to make you laugh. So when I was in the sixth grade, I was sitting in the back row of my classroom, and I was writing on my paper. And I started to notice that I could see my hand, and I could see my paper, and I could see myself writing, but I couldn't see the writing that I had written. I could see everything except the words that I had written. And I looked up at the chalkboard. It was a chalkboard. I just dated myself. It was an actual chalkboard with chalk, you know, and the teachers would like bang the erasers together, you know, to clean them off. Anyway, and I realized that I could see the teacher writing, but I couldn't see her writing. So something was going on with what I was seeing with my vision. And so my mom came and picked me up from school, and we went to the eye doctor, and they looked at my eyes, and they decided that I was having a migraine. So I had my first migraine when I was in sixth grade. So fast forward probably 15, 16 years, I was married, I have my two daughters, and I'm giving them a bath. And I was reaching for the shampoo, and I missed it. And I thought, well, that's weird. I don't miss the shampoo bottle ever. You know, how do you ever miss something that's right in front of you? And I didn't really think anything of it, just that it was a little weird, and maybe I'm dizzy or something. Excuse me. And all of a sudden, it was like somebody just hit me over the head with a hammer. And I got this crazy headache. So I started to realize these triggers of a headache. Has anybody else in here ever had a migraine headache? Yes, yes. Aren't they wonderful? So I didn't have another one until much, much later. And then they started to get a little scarier. It was probably like 4 years ago. They started to get really weird. I was getting numb on one side. I was saying words that I didn't mean to say. It was getting a little bit scary. And my mom actually came to me, and she told me that she really had been praying about how she could help me with my migraine headaches. And so this part of how I got rid of my migraine headaches doesn't really have a point, but I'll just let you know what I did. So I had to change my food. I had to get rid of the obstacle. I had to change my food, and I realized that sugar is a trigger for me, which again has nothing to do with my study, but it'll come in later. So just follow me. This is how my brain thinks, okay? See, I'm very, very professional. So when I got rid of that, all of a sudden, I didn't have these migraines anymore. And I haven't had a really bad one in a long time. What I thought was interesting, and I told you guys that vision has been thrown around in my house, the word vision and the idea of vision has been thrown around in my house. I started thinking about how when I was having those migraines, I could see just fine. But something was wrong with my vision. My eyes were seeing, but they weren't seeing it correctly. They weren't seeing the whole picture. And so that got me thinking about, well, what is the difference between vision and sight? Like, aren't they the same thing? And so I started doing some very extensive research on Google. And I just wanted to read you guys this. I found this on an optometry website, and I thought it was so interesting. And I got so excited because I was like, oh my gosh, this is such a big deal. So listen. I'm going to just quote this to you guys really quick. It says, eyesight is tested through one's ability to see images up close and far away. So usually during your eye exam, you see the chart and they say read the bottom line. That's checking your sight. At this point, the optometrist is testing for visual acuity. How accurately are your eyes seeing the image? Do you see an A or do you see a B or do you see a blob? Depending on how your vision is. The term vision, however, encompasses the idea of eyesight but goes a little bit beyond it. After testing for visual acuity, eye doctors usually will check to see if the eyes are working in sync, or what is called binocularity. Are there any optometrists in here? Okay, I just wanted to know if I was saying that word right. But think binoculars. To check to see if the eyes are working in sync. When the eyes are not working together or one eye is working harder than the other, it's common to experience eye strain and headaches. And if it's left untreated, your eyes are just going to get worse. Your vision is going to get worse. And so it got me thinking, gosh, all of our eyes need to be working together. And I hear binoculars. And I think, when we look through binoculars, I'm not looking at the glass that's in front of me, right? What are we trying to see when we're looking through binoculars? Something far away. Does anybody else have a horrible time looking through binoculars? I'm like, I feel like my eyes are oddly separated or something. I'm like, am I the only person whose eyes are set this way or getting it in focus? But we look through the binoculars so that we can see something that's far away, something that we can't make sense of close up where we are now. So correcting my vision had to do with me removing an obstacle. So my obstacle was sugar. But we'll get further on into what those obstacles are that keep us from just seeing and wanting to move beyond to vision. Am I making sense so far? If I'm not, it'll all come together in the end, like binoculars. I didn't even plan that. Yes. But what does the Bible have to say about vision? Turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 29. We're going to flip around a little bit tonight. So I had thought of this verse right away, and maybe some of you did too, when I said, what does the Bible have to say about vision? Does anybody, what verse came to your mind? Throw it out. Without the people perish, right? So I went to my Bible. I have the New King James Version. And I found that in the King James Version, it says, without vision, the people will perish, right? That's the one we hear. In the New King James Version, it says, where there is no revelation, which is like, what's the other word for that? I have it written down. Prophetic vision. Revelation or prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. So casting off restraint is just not having that self-control. If you don't have a vision for the future or something that's coming Why would you need that restraint? So I thought it was really interesting that if there's no hope for the future and you don't have this vision for the future, you perish. Because if you don't have vision, then you have no passion. If you can't think, and we all know that the Lord has a plan and a purpose for our life, right? Who knows that God has a plan and a purpose for your life? If you're in here today and you came to know the Lord, it was because you believed that there was more than just what you're doing now. There was more than working 9 to 5 and waiting for the weekend. There was more than just where you were, that there was more to this life and you were made to know your Creator. But when we don't have any vision, there's no reason to be passionate. And are you ever surrounded by people who lack that passion and they lack that vision? Are they really fun to be around? I've been that person before, where you can't see, it feels like sometimes you can't see past your own face. Because you're like, Lord, I don't understand. All I see is this thing right in front of me, and none of that makes sense, and I don't see how this is going to make sense in the future. So without that vision, without knowing that there's more ahead for us, it's like we die on the inside. Are you with me so far? Yes. Have you ever felt that way before, where you feel like you're literally just shriveling up inside because you cannot see ahead? I'll tell you what, I'm really glad that I don't know what's ahead. There are some times that I wish I knew what was ahead, but who's come through a difficult time and you come through the end, and because you didn't see it in the beginning, it was more glorious? Because in that struggle, you're walking through, you're trudging through, you're like, I don't understand this, I don't get this, but you got to the end and you turn and you realized that's why this, this, and this happened. And your relationship with the Lord is so much more enriched during that time. So with that vision, knowing that there's something ahead, you can have that passion. But when we don't have that vision, we don't have that passion for the future. So how does God's vision differ from ours? Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 46. Or you can tap on your phone. I know my mom likes the sound of turning Bible pages. My mom's here, by the way. Mom, raise your hand. She's right back there. She came tonight. Isaiah 46. So we're finding out how God's vision differs from ours. So first we learn the difference between vision and sight, and now we're learning how God's vision differs from our vision. Chapter 46 of Isaiah, verse 9, it says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." See, our vision is one-dimensional. I see right now. I have some plans. My daughter's got an eighth grade graduation on Friday. We're going to go to Montana in July. I've got some plans. But as far as the beginning to the end, I got nothing. I know what's been past, but I don't know what's in the future. And I think it's interesting because we see one-dimensional, but God sees all the different angles and why we are where we are and where we're going to end up and how these things will come together. I like to think of it as a timeline. We've all done timelines. If you took a history class ever in your life, you had to do a timeline. I just finished a year of homeschool with my kids. I know what a timeline is. And now they don't seem so overwhelming. History seemed so overwhelming to me when I was a kid, but now I love it. But when you see a timeline, what do you see along that timeline? You guys can talk. It's okay. Don't be scared. Changes. You see important events, right? You see, if you saw my timeline, you would see 19, Shannon was born. And then you would see when she was 7 years old, she had her appendix out. When you say she was, I don't know, just the date I got married, maybe the date I met my husband. You would see all these little things along the line. And I can see from here, we'll just say here is the present. I'm the present, okay? The future's there. The past is there. I see all those little blips, but right now I'm just on this blip. But God sees it from up above. Does that make sense? God sees it like we write somebody's timeline who's lived their whole life and they've passed away. We can see all those little things in their life. But we can't see that in our own life. We know God's going to take us to some great places. We know God's going to do some great things, but we don't always see how. Because everything in your life is not good, right? It's not. I know God works everything together for the good, but there are some things in your life that just stink. And that thing, that hard thing that you're going through now or that you've gone through before, will always stink because it was hard and it was difficult. But later on, you're going to see what God brought from it. Are you with me? Because there are parts in my life where I'm like, this will never be a good thing. Maybe a big mistake I made, a bad choice, a way that I was hurt maybe. I'll never look back on that and say, that was so great. I'll never look back on that time and say, that was so fun. But I look back on that time and I say, because of that, here I am now. And God does that in such a way where we can say, because of you, this is where I am now. That's the way it works. I can't turn around and be like, I did everything right and now I'm here because of me, because I did everything right. Because man, do we mess up, right? But I love the fact that God can see the whole timeline of our life. And he knows where I'm going to be going. And right now I'm on a blip. And I know that blip feels really, really big sometimes. You're like, if we could move on from this blip now, I'm ready to be off this blip and onto the next blip, and I'm hoping that that one's a good thing. God sees the whole timeline. His vision is so different than ours. And we can have peace in that, knowing that all things work together for the good. And I get to lead worship at a lot of women's retreats. And we always do an afterglow type thing. You know, like you've done, if you've been to a women's retreat before, you know there's a night where we have afterglow and extended worship. And there's always a prayer that, I'm always lifting up this prayer for the ladies because we're all always going through stuff. Within this room, there is stuff that's going on that's so painful and that you have no idea about in somebody's life. And you know what? We have to remind ourselves that he is good. You have good for me. I know in the difficult times in my life, even in the times where I honestly didn't believe that there was good ahead. I knew that God had good for me because he says it to me, right? And so the times when I didn't believe it, I would say it again and again and again until I believed it again. You have good for me, you have good for me, you have good for me, until I believed it again. Because sometimes the belief feels like it slips away just in the mess of everything. But if you just stand on God's word and knowing that his vision for you is perfect, you remind yourself until you believe it again. Does that make sense? Because we all go through doubt. It doesn't mean you walked away from Jesus because you're doubting right now. It means that you're having trouble, and that's okay if you go to the right place with that trouble. Are you with me? Okay, good. Just want to make sure you're all with me. But it is hard when we can't see it, and we're so anxious sometimes to see things come together. It's like, all right, God, let's just tie this up with a bow. I'm all ready. Let's move on. I think I've learned my lesson. I'm good now. But he's not quite ready because, see, when we have no vision, we have no passion. And when we have no passion, we have no patience. We run out of that patience because we're like, forget it. Why am I still here? Why am I still in this place? And a lot of times we take that on ourselves. Well, it's probably just because I haven't learned this yet, or it's probably because of this, and I did this, and I did that. We're in those places because God wants to get us on our own sometimes. I was at this women's retreat last weekend, and the theme was all about about Jesus being our shepherd. And they showed this video of this farmer guy. I don't know if he makes a lot of videos, but it made me cry. It was so good. It was just this farmer, and in the background, you could see there was a large sheep, which you found out was the mama sheep, and there were twin lambs. And one of the lambs was with her, and another lamb, the farmer explained, had run off earlier that day and had run away. And they had found the lamb and brought it back. And I never knew this happened before. The mother lamb was rejecting the baby lamb. You could see her in the background butting the lamb with her head, kicking the lamb. I mean, rejecting the lamb completely. I was like, oh my, this is horrible. Like, what is the point? Why are we watching this video right now? I'm like, turn it off. But the farmer had this point that he was going to take that lamb And he was going to bottle feed that lamb and nurse it to health. And he said, if you're being rejected by somebody, if you're being left alone, maybe it's because God wants to bring you to himself and he wants to nurture you and nourish you. Because I think inadvertently sometimes we go to the wrong sources. We go to our husbands because he's got skin on and we can hug him. When my husband was away in Jordan, I was like, I just gotta hug him. I think I'm making him crazy now because he's working on his van and I go out and I'm all, hi. We go to our husbands, we go to our kids. We go to so many things to make us feel like we have worth and that we matter. But really, where's our worth? Jesus, he's our worth. We matter so much to him, and sometimes he just wants to get us to himself. It doesn't make it not hurt, though, when you've got things going on in your life that are painful, right? But it gives you the proper place to go because Jesus is just waiting to give you what you need. These times are so unique because we get to wrap ourselves in Jesus. And I'm not just saying that because that's your theme this summer. But literally, those are the times when he is so close that he's your breath. I went through a really difficult time in my marriage, and I don't have time to tell my whole testimony now, but a really difficult time in my marriage where my husband and I were not able to be there for one another in any really way. The Lord really worked and has restored, and we've been married for 17 years now, and the Lord's done an amazing work. But the times that we were not doing well were the times that Jesus met me in such amazing ways, the times that I thirsted and hungered for his word. And these days I tell my husband, I'm like, man, it was so much easier when you did not like me. Because there was a time, because of what we were dealing with and what was going on in our lives, that our hearts weren't really safe with one another. Because in love, you have to have, there's some risk involved, right? And I remember the time when we were restored and it was time for me to allow my husband back in again into my heart. And I was like, nope, I'm good. Me and Jesus have got a really good thing going on right here. And I don't really want to allow you in to potentially hurt me again. And that's where it gets harder, I feel. I feel the times when we're going through the difficult things are the easiest times to draw close to Jesus. Because he's all you have. And the only one that you can count on. Your one constant. When everything else is crumbling around you and you have no control over everything, Jesus is that constant. Right? Who has gone through that where you're like, the only reason I got through this was because of Jesus, and you totally leaned on him because you had nobody to lean on and nowhere to go? And doesn't it make you sometimes weirdly want to be back there again? I mean, you don't want to go through those difficult times again, but you want to feel that sweetness again, that closeness where he's just so close you could just feel him. Those are those times when he gets us alone. And Jesus gets us close to him, not to see what he's up to. You wouldn't, if you'd missed your father or somebody who was really close to you, you're not going to nuzzle in and want to talk about the day. You just want to be close. You want to feel that person close. And I think that's why Jesus gets us to those places sometimes, is because he wants us to know him. He wants us to be with him. He doesn't want me to get close to him so I can be like, well, while we're here, Jesus, if you could just explain what's going on in my life right now. He wants us to come to him so we can come to him, period. He wants us close to him so we can be close to him, period. Does that make sense? Not necessarily to have him detail the whole plan, which wouldn't really happen anyway, but to have us close because he wants us. I recently did this Bible study with a friend of mine on the Holy Spirit. And you know, you start talking about the Holy Spirit and you're like, I understand it. And you're trying to put it all together. It's like the Trinity and you've got God over here and you've got all this stuff. And I was just thinking about how sweet it was that God created us. because he loved us and he wants us. And we messed up, right? Us humankind, there's people in here who've all messed up, correct? Raise your hand if you've messed up ever. Every hand should be up in this room. Jesus came, he bridged the gap so God could have us back. And we've been called to a life to walk and follow after him. But guess what? We can't. Because we're humans and we mess up. And so along comes the Holy Spirit, the fulfillment of God's promise to us that he would never leave us or forsake us, and the one who gives us the ability to walk the walk that we're called to get back to God. Isn't that crazy? I love how it all makes sense together. But we have to have those times with Jesus so that he can have a minute to explain things to us. Does that make sense? I know I keep asking you. I just want to make sure because it's the evening time. All right, so we're going to move on to how do we get past sight to vision. Excuse me. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah 33. You probably know where I'm going with this. As I was reading about vision and thinking, well, how do we have vision, Lord? How do we see that? How do we get past just seeing what's in front of us? Because I think about the difficult times. And when you're in the difficult times, remember how we talked about the optical exam? When you're in the difficult times, picture that chart with the letters and numbers as your difficult times. That's all you can see. But it doesn't really make sense. It's just blurry. You're just seeing. You don't have vision for what the future is because you're so stuck in what's happening right now. So Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. If in your Bible, circle or underline, call, will, great, mighty. Call and will are both actions, right? Verbs. Call is our job. Will answer is God's job. Has God ever made a promise to you that he's broken? In his own timing. Call to me and I will answer you. Call to me and I will answer you. See, we all have this verse memorized. It's crocheted on pillows and it's put on cups and it's, you know, hangings on the wall. But then sometimes we forget the truth in this verse. When we call to him, he answers us. One of my children always answers me when I call to both of them. They're both girls. So I say, hey, girls, I only always hear one. Yeah, mom. The other one, I'm like, I said girls. So I don't always get an answer, but when we call to Jesus, he will answer us. He promises. The word says that he cannot lie. So this is your truth right here. You call to God, he will answer you, and he will show you great and mighty things that you do not even know, things that you wouldn't even think of praying for. I shared at this Mother's Day brunch thing, and my mom hasn't heard this, but or maybe, I don't remember. Anyway, you're hearing it now. Oh, yay. It's a good thing, Mom. It's good. I lost my train of thought. There it went. No. I was talking about how when we pray and we seek after God, he does exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ever ask or think. And every time I read that, I translate that as above and beyond anything I would even think to ask for. Nothing that would even enter your mind. So let's go back to a blip on my timeline over here, probably like right here. Let's say I'm like, I don't know, 14, 15, and I'm like a really mean daughter. I'm not a nice kid to my mom. I'm super rude, I'm disrespectful, I don't obey her, I talk back to her. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm just kidding. It's okay, you can nod your head and say, yeah, we can imagine because we see your neck moving around when you're talking. Really disrespectful daughter. My mom and my relationship was strained because I had chosen to be disobedient. I had made some choices, and my mom was very gracious. And I have to say, it wasn't until I grew up and had my own kids, my daughters, who are now 13 and 14, and I went, oh, okay. It's where it all started to make sense to me. And I was speaking at this mother's brunch about God's restoration and about how I know my mom's knees were calloused in those years. On her knees praying for me, I'm sure. And still, I know she is, constantly. But I bet that my mom didn't pray, Lord, one day it would be so great if Shannon and I could do retreats together and she could lead worship and I could teach. That would be so great. Maybe that was a dream one day. But I bet one of my mom's prayers was, Lord, just help her to be respectful. Lord, just help her to obey. Lord, help her to see that she's going down the wrong path in being disrespectful and disobedient. But now, my mom and I have been able to do, I think, 5 women's events or retreats together. And it cracks us up because people will ask us, so what was it like, you know, or they're asking about our relationship and we're just like, they have no clue. They have no idea. But we get to share that with people, that God did exceedingly abundantly above anything my mom could ever think to ask for. Did you pray that we could do retreats someday? No. Okay, good. I was like, I don't know, maybe she did. I should find out. But how cool is that? That's not something we could conjure up on our own. That's God doing exceedingly abundantly above anything you could ever ask or think or even think to ask for. When you're praying, God, please just restore my marriage. Please bring my husband back. God, please find me a job. God, please help my child. God is preparing exceedingly abundantly above anything you could ever think to ask for. And if he told you now, you'd be like, nope. Because you don't have the vision that far ahead. And he does. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah 29. You've seen this one on a lot of pillows too. But sometimes we skate right past it, don't we? Jeremiah 29, we're going to start in verse 12. Every time we come to an action word, circle it, okay? Or like what your responsibility is and what God's responsibility is. Here it goes. You ready? Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Verse 13, and you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. So what words do we have underlined or circled? Call, find. Depending on your translation, you have seek in there. Pray, go. So when we seek for him, we will find him. Who was really good at hide and seek when they were a kid? I was horrible at hide and go seek. I hated that game because they'd always find me right away. I was like, this is a dumb game. I don't want to play this game. Have you heard of sardines? It's a new game. It's like hide and seek, but when you find somebody, you hide with them. Kids these days. But my point is that when we seek God, we will find God. His word says that he's not hiding anything from us. As a matter of fact, he can't wait to show us these things. He can't wait to reveal these things to us. I think about when, you know something that's really great news and you can like barely stand it and you want to tell somebody and you're like, oh, I can't wait to tell them. I feel like in my weird sense of humor of how I think that God gets my sense of humor, I think of him that way, like, oh my gosh, I can't wait for her to come to me because I'm so excited to tell her this. Have you ever had God reveal something to you and you just lit up because you just realized, oh, my gosh, that's so cool. So I felt the other day when I was studying vision and sight and I was like, oh, Lord, this is so cool. You see everything way far out and the things that we can't even see, and you've made our eyes and our vision in such a way that we get to relate it back to the way you see things versus the way we see things. Isn't that amazing to anybody else? I mean, I love these things. See, what we need to do, though, in order to seek God, we have to get rid of those obstacles. So go back to my migraines. What was my obstacle? Unfortunately, it was sugar. It was a very, very sad day for me when I had to say goodbye to that. And do you think that I never, ever have sugar again? No. But do you think I suffer when I do? Yes. We had a Mother's Day gathering with my family dinner, and we had breakfast for dinner. And I'm just that person. I also try not to eat gluten. I'm that person. You know, well, I don't eat this, and I don't eat that, and I don't eat that. My sister made these gluten-free pancakes, and they tasted like cake. They were so good. So I had these gluten-free pancakes that tasted like cake, so probably had a ton of sugar in them, I would assume, because they tasted like cake. And then I covered them in really healthy stuff, in maple syrup. It was delicious. And the next day, I felt like I had partied all night the night before. It was horrible. I did it to myself because I put that obstacle back in my way. So we have to do two things. We have to remove the obstacles to get God's vision. We have to remove the obstacles that are in our way, and we have to just ask and call and pray. Aren't there a lot of things that get in your way when you go to seek the Lord? And I don't mean like hurdles, literal hurdles, like you have to run and, you know, jump over a hurdle to get to God. I mean cell phones or the laptop or the television or things as innocent as laundry that all of a sudden seems really important, right? All those little things can be obstacles to keep us from seeking God. Sometimes it's sin in our own lives. Doesn't the enemy love to kick you when you're down? And you have something that you haven't dealt with. And you know, if you just go to the Lord and say, Lord, get those words out of your mouth. Lord, forgive me. The moment that you say those words, don't you just feel the prayers just flow? It's like you've had a cork in your mouth and all of a sudden you ask God to forgive you and it's gone. And you're able to speak openly and freely to him. It's like coming to a friend that you've been really rude to. And maybe you've ignored them every time you've seen them at church or whatever. And you're just like, I'm so sorry that I treated you that way. And all of a sudden, sometimes that friendship just flows again. But getting rid of that sin that's in our way allows us to go before the Lord. Lord, forgive me for not coming to you. Forgive me for not seeking you in this. Or forgive me for whatever sin it is. We all have it. We all mess up. But when we come to the Lord and we remove those obstacles and we start seeking after him, not necessarily, like I said before, seeking after an answer for a problem that's in front of you. Sometimes there are times that need to be dedicated to prayer for specific things. Lord, should I take this job or that job? Lord, should I move to this house or that house? What should I do with my child? What should I do in this or that? But honestly, ladies, I think when we just seek after God to seek after God, he just directs our steps. And we know which way to go. And we don't have to be like, Lord, should I go to Albertsons or Vons today? Hold on. Wait. Okay. I know where, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know, is the chicken cheaper at Vons or Albertsons? Go to Albertsons because it's always cheaper at Albertsons. That's not actually true. Sometimes it's cheaper at once. But God has promised in his word that he will answer us. And when we're seeking after him, it's like we just kind of know which way we're supposed to go. He's not hiding anything from us. And on the contrary, he's waiting for us to ask. When we have no vision, we have no passion. And when we have no passion, we have no patience. And when we lose our patience, we lose our desire for God because we lose sight of why we decided to follow him in the first place. I'll repeat that. When we have no vision, we have no passion. And when we have no passion, we have no patience. Everybody with me? And when we lose our patience, we lose our desire for God because we lose sight of why we decided to follow him in the first place. So it's a slippery slope, right? Think of it. You came to the Lord and he gave you this patience to seek after him and to know him. And from that came a passion. And from that passion came vision. But you slide down that the wrong way and you're right back to where you started going, why do I do this anyway? Why do I even follow God? This is too hard. And it's hard to be wrapped up in someone when you can't remember why you loved them in the first place. Right? Who's married in this room? Do you ever have moments where you forget why you got wrapped up in your husband in the first place? Yes? And all the laughter is like, yes? It's a choice, isn't it? Our feelings are not always there. Whether we're married or not, our feelings are not always there in anything that we do. Our feelings are big, fat lies. They really, really are. Our daughters, like I said, are 13 and 14, and that's a conversation we have a lot about how our feelings will tell us lies. I have one daughter who is just like me. She is all an emotional mess. She's totally emotional, just like me, okay? So when it came that time and they were changing, and you see them changing, and you hear their voice changing tone with you, and they don't even understand why they're talking to you that way, and we all went through that in our lives. I've got my one daughter who is very sensible. My oldest daughter, Emmy, is very sensible. She's just like my husband, all logical. No emotion, all logic, okay? So those times come and she'll be like, just really feeling kind of emotional right now, but I think I'm gonna be okay if I just, you know, just kind of take a breath. I'm like, okay. Because this is a new thing for me. I'm all, wow, well, that was easy. And then I've got my other daughter, my 13-year-old daughter, who is her mother's daughter. She's like, the whole sky is falling and just everything is awful. And she's losing it, right? Our feelings lie to us. Because your feelings will tell you things that are not true. Your feelings will tell you that you're not loved, that you're not beautiful, that you don't have a purpose. But our feelings are not the truth. Remember what I told you I repeated to myself in those difficult times? Do you remember? What was it? You have good for me, you have good for me, you have good for me. Because my feelings were saying, you don't have good for me, because this is not good. And those have been the most honest prayers that I've probably ever prayed in my life. Fine, I don't get it, God. Not in a sassy way, that's just how I am. But I mean to be so honest with the Lord that you're like, I have nothing left. This is it, there's nothing else left. And God goes, good, all right, now we can start. Because you've emptied off your plate, you've emptied off your plans, your agenda is clear now because you got nothing. So don't believe your feelings, because it's hard to be wrapped up in someone when you can't remember why you love them in the first place. So you need to go back. You need to go back and remember why you got wrapped up into Jesus in the first place. Why did you come to him? Were you desperate? Were you 3 years old and you were raised in a Christian home? It really doesn't matter how you came to the Lord. What matters is how you stay. And staying is the hard part when it gets difficult. The Christian life is super easy, huh?
No.
No. Because we just said before, we need the Holy Spirit to help us walk the walk we're called to. We can't do it on our own. But guess what the Bible says? That the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us if we belong to him. Do you belong to him? If you belong to him, that power is in you. And you can walk what you're walking through right now. You can get back to where you have the patience and the passion and the vision and where you can get yourself wrapped back up in Jesus. But sometimes you gotta wrap yourself up back in him. Does that make sense? So I wonder about you. Have you lost your vision? Have you lost your passion? Has your desire for Jesus dwindled? Because we all go through those seasons of ups and downs. I recently have been, if you guys don't know, I typically lead worship. I'm more of a worship leader than I am a speaker. And that's really what the Lord has given me lots of opportunities to do. So I sing. And lately, I have lost my voice 3 times this year, which is a bad thing for a singer. It's not a good thing. I need it. I think a lot of it is me not resting like I should. But I went to the ear, nose, and throat doctor and had them look down there. It was awesome. They stuck this tube down my nose. It was great. It was funny because I've had this done before. About 10 years ago, I had the same thing happen. And I thought, well, I probably have nodules on my vocal cords. My sister had them, and she had some damage done to her vocal cords. And I thought, well, I've done this before, and I know they spray this stuff in your throat, and then they stick a camera down your throat and see what's going on. So let me explain really quick. Let's just pretend that these are your vocal cords. If you don't know anything about this, if you already know, just you can ignore this part. So vocal cords, it's like this circle, and within there you have these 2 folds of skin, okay? When you're making noise, your vocal cords are together. Right now, all of yours are like this. They're not touching because you're quiet. Thank you, by the way, for not talking while I'm talking. So all day long, you're talking, and they kind of flutter like this, okay? If you're talking all day long and you're doing this, and then I go to sing, just picture clapping your hands all day long. All day long. And then singing. So over time, what's going to happen? You're going to get some calluses. So that's what nodules are on your vocal cords. And it makes it hard for you to control your voice, makes it hard for you to hit the same notes that you could before. So I started to have some trouble with my voice. And I kind of put off going to this doctor for a while because I was like, they're going to find him and I'm going to have to stop singing and da-da-da-da-da. So I went, and they weren't that bad. But he did say I had a little bit of a beginning of one, which I've had before. And he said, so you probably just need to rest. So, number one, I'm not good at resting, which is funny because the retreat last weekend, guess what it was about? All about rest. It was like he makes me to lie down in green pastures. It was great. And then we were at this other event the other night, and they were talking about how the Lord just wants people to rest. And I was like, all right, I get it. But it has been a season for me, and I'm being really honest and transparent with you guys right now, about what is my vision? This is what I've done for a really long time. What if, just what if, it's not going to happen right now, but what if I lost my voice? And I couldn't sing anymore. That is something that I've done for a long time. Most of my adult life, I've been able to lead worship and sing and record CDs and all of those things. That's how people know me. Shannon, she sings, you know, the girl who sings. Like if people described you, they'd be like, you know, Kelly, she's a teacher and she's got her master's because she's super smart. Or however people describe you. People would describe me as, you know, Shannon, she sings. So what if I lost my voice? Now, here's the human side. Oh my gosh, what would I do if I lost my voice? That would be really hard. I'm not going to be dumb and ignorantly say, oh, it would be fine. I know it would be fine. I know that God would have another plan for me. But that would be really difficult. Imagine that. There was a story I just heard of a worship leader who had a heart attack. And it was so severe that he only has 25% of his heart function. So he can't really work the way he used to. He can't even lead worship anymore. He can't really do anything. And I think, oh, that's got to be so difficult. So you have to think about that in your life. What is my vision? What is my passion? Am I so focused on what I'm doing right now that if everything fell apart, I would lose my vision? I will say that last month I took a break. You should be proud of me because I don't take breaks well. Mom, right? I don't. Oh, look at her back there. Well, sort of. She sort of took a break, calling me out. Let me explain. I had a couple dates that I needed to go lead worship for retreats, but as far as leading worship at our home church every Wednesday, I took Wednesdays off. And it was so sweet. It was so good. Because leading worship, Lindsay can totally attest to this. She's totally worshiping the Lord while she's doing this. But you know what else she's doing? E, B, A, C sharp minor, okay, are they standing? Are they? Because we're here for you guys as worship leaders. So when we're leading you guys in worship, we want you guys to worship with us. So we're not just thinking about ourselves. So in that process, you're having to think about so many other things. And while you can worship the Lord while you're doing it, you still need to think a lot. Right, Brooklyn? You know. Yeah. She's all, mm-hmm. Beautiful voice. This girl has a beautiful voice. So when I got to just walk into church and go to one service, which in itself was really sweet for me, go to one service, I walk in, my husband was gone in Jordan, and I stood by myself, which was perfectly fine with me because I like that. And I just wept the first time that I stood in worship because I was like, oh, Lord, it's just been so long. Because I've had dates on the calendar and things I needed to sing at and things I needed to, events and this and that and kids and blah, 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 blah. But it had taken me so long to just let God get me alone in that way. And I realized how special and precious that rest was. And those were some of the sweetest times. And just such a great reminder to me that no matter what's in my future, no matter what goes on with my voice, and I'm not trying to be dramatic about it, but I'm trying to be realistic about it, God still has a vision and a plan and a purpose. And no matter what's going on in your life right now, it hasn't changed his vision. He sees it so clearly. His plan, his unchanging plan, the word says, is to bring his people back to himself. Period. And all the other stuff is just stuff. I know it's hard, and I don't want to minimize the things that are going on in this room, things that I will never know about because I don't get to talk to each and every one of you individually. They're huge, painful, excruciating, I know. But if you can take a step back and say, Lord, take me back to where I had that vision of you, that vision that you had that made me just so locked into you, so wrapped up in you, however you want to describe that, take me back to that. There was a missionary that was, I think it was in maybe Papua New Guinea. I can't ever remember his name. But his whole family had been killed by the native people that they had gone to reach out to. And he was running for his life from these people who were after him to kill him. And so he escaped into a tree. I don't remember his name. Do you remember his name, Susan? You know the story. Oh, it's different, but I can't remember his name. It's in a big, thick missionary book. Anyway, he climbed into a tree and he stayed there all night and he could hear the people down there with their machetes looking for him. And he said that he would go back to that tree. He made it out alive, by the way. He said he would go back to that tree because, not in so many words, those were the sweetest times he had with Jesus. Don't you feel like you're fighting for your life sometimes? But in those moments, that's where Jesus gets to be with us alone. And those are the sweetest moments. So we have the opportunity tonight, and I asked Lindsay if she could prepare like extra worship for us. We have an opportunity tonight to renew that vision through worship. And I don't know if you remember, but at the beginning before I spoke and I talked about us worshiping the Lord by reading his word. Does everybody in here know that worship does not necessarily have to be music? Worship can be reading God's word. Worship can be ministering to another person, talking to them about the Lord. Worship is just giving yourself to God. But we have an opportunity tonight to be able to do that through worship. And I know that my topic was worship, but that's not just why we're doing this. That is how I am brought into God's presence in half a second. If I put on worship music and I'm just like, oh, sorry about that. Wow. That was crazy. If I just, it helps me remember how small I am and how great God is. So we're going to have some extra time to sing tonight because worship is just really prayers through music. Remember how we said, how do we get God's vision? What were some of the things that we do? What were some of the action words that you circled? Call, seek, ask, knock, All of those things, we're basically coming to Jesus so that we can come to Jesus. If we can come to Jesus, not so he can fix all of our problems, but if we come to Jesus because we want to be close to Jesus, he meets us. What did it say? He will answer. He will listen. And he may not reveal his big plan to you tonight, but it's my hope that as we have this time to be able to just really worship the Lord with music, that our hearts would be centered back on him and that you would let him have your plans and how you think it should go, and that you would surrender that back to him because he's waiting for you to find him again and to come back to him, waiting for you to come and follow hard after him. So I challenge you tonight to not waste this opportunity. I would challenge you to stay for this extended amount of worship because it's intentional. It's part of the study tonight, that you would stay. And if you want to sing, sing. If you feel like you just want to sit quietly before the Lord, do that too. Like I told you, when I first walked back in after taking when I started my break, I couldn't sing most of the time because the Lord was just, it was like I knew how happy he was that I was back. Does that make sense? So if you can let this be your time between you and the Lord, and Lindsay can go ahead and come up. And like Lindsay said before, this is your time with Jesus. This is your time to just think about him and ask him to renew that vision. Ask him to remind you why you got wrapped up in him in the first place. Lord, I need your vision. I need that passion again. I want that back. I want to follow hard after you. So if you want to stand or you want to sit or you want to kneel, if you want to pray with your friend next to you, if you're dealing with something really difficult and you just feel compelled, ask that friend next to you, would you just pray with me, please? I'm going through this really difficult time. So we're just going to use this time just to pray and allow our hearts to just be quiet before the Lord or sing to him. But I just want to pray over you guys really quick before we do that. Let's pray. God, we come before you and we thank you for the way that you bring us back to you. And I just want to acknowledge, Lord, that there's not one woman in this room who's here by accident. She's here because you invited her. Not because it's Tuesday night and it's what she does on Tuesday nights during the summer. Not because her friend made her come. But she's here on purpose because you want to meet with her. And God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would come, that each and every woman in this room would welcome you in. And Lord, maybe some of us in here have been gone a long time. Maybe we've been coming to service and we've been reading our Bible and we've been doing all the stuff, but we've forgotten why we came to you in the first place, Lord. And we've lost our passion and we've lost our vision. Lord, would you bring us back to you, to not just the place of safety, but the place of excitement for what you have for us, Lord. And I just want to ask you, ladies, if that's you tonight, if you feel like you want God to bring you back to a place of passion and vision and where you're really excited to seek after him again, would you just raise your hand? Because I want to pray for you guys specifically. Just raise it up. Awesome. Keep your hand up. We're going to pray for you guys. Father God, we come before you tonight. Lord, you see these hands. You see them raised to you, Lord. We raise our hands to you when we worship as a sign of surrender. We throw our hands up and say, we don't have it, Lord. So I pray that you would be with each of these women, Lord, who is raising their hands to you and asking you to fill her again, to fill her with that passion and that vision, Lord, that she would worship you in everything she does. I pray, God, that you would answer her prayer. She's doing what we just read in your word. She's calling to you. She's seeking you now. And I pray that you would show yourself strong, Lord, that you would be true to your promise, that your Holy Spirit would fall on her in a brand new way. And I pray, Lord, that as we have this time to sing to you, to give you our full, undivided attention, Lord, that you would bring amazing changes in this room. I thank you that we don't need to get away for a full weekend. That, Lord, in a moment, you can change our lives, change our perspective, and you can bring us back to you. God, we want to seek you, and we want to love you in such an intimate way, God. So I pray that your Holy Spirit would fall, that we would worship you, not just because we're singing and it's time for that, but because we can't help it. And Lord, I pray that you would just heal brokenness in this room, that you would give us your vision, your sight, Lord, that we would be able to see with your eyes, even when we don't understand. So God, fall on us now in Jesus' name.